everybody. I'm Elizabeth Alfano. Thanks for joining me today. What do you do when life gives you lemons? Well, if you're Southern actress and funny gal, Julia Fowler, you throw them in some sweet tea and you thank your lucky stars that you're Southern. Hold on to your bootstraps, everybody. I'll be right back with the funny lady herself and the creator of the YouTube sensation, The Southern Women Channel, Miss Julia Fowler.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That sounds like the Gone with the Wind theme song. Oh my word. Now, does everybody recognize this? Come on, people. Date yourself. Date yourself. So we're going to talk about all things Southern today with the ever fab Julia Fowler. But first, I'll throw you my social media handle so you know where to get me. My name is Elizabeth Alfano, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DinnerPartyCHGO. I'm the only person still on Facebook. You can find me there at Elizabeth Alfano. And of course, you can see all my celebrity interviews on thedinnerparty.tv. Stop talking about me. Let's get to Julia Fowler. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me, darling. I appreciate it.
All right. So we hear the Southern in you already. Where can people find you?
You mean on social media?
I mean, not at your house.
Not well.
I mean at social media.
Yes, do not come to my house, y'all. Do not stalk me. No, you can find us on Facebook, the Southern Women Channel, right there on Facebook. You're not the last person on Facebook. I am on Facebook.
The two of us are on Facebook.
Facebook happens to be my favorite social media platform.
Me too. That's how I feel like I communicate best with people.
Absolutely. And you can find us on Twitter at Women Southern. And you can find us on Instagram at Southern Women Channel.
Now, really what you want to tell people is that YouTube channel. Just go to
YouTube
and find Southern Women
Channel. Just Google Southern Women Channel. Our YouTube channel is Southern Women Channel. You can find all our videos there. You can also find us on our website, www.southernwomenchannel.com.
Love it. Okay, so we're going to talk about all things Southern. But before we do that, and how she built an incredible YouTube sensation, Southern Women Channel YouTube channel. But before we do that, first, we're going to have a little bourbon. So the way that you have an interview that goes well is you bring in bourbon, people.
Yes.
Just in case you get into some tricky spots, you can have a little bourbon. I hope that's okay with you.
Oh, that's exceptional with me.
Okay. Okay, it's never too early for us here. And then I thought, if I'm going to have Julia in the studio, I wanted to make some Southern food. So I got to looking up a recipe for a fruit crisp. And I saw that it required a stick of butter. And I was like, well, oh, hell no. Oh, just by the way, today it's all about Southern expressions. So if you think, like, why is Elizabeth talking funny? It's because today's about Southern expressions. So I thought, a stick of butter. Hell no. I'm not doing that. I'm vegan. And then it's called for a cup and a half of sugar. And
right.
I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that either, actually. And then it called for a cup of flour. And I was like, So what I've done is I've made a healthy vegan LA version of a fruit crisp, and that's what we have here. People.
Okay, all right. So what is this, like, vegan, gluten-free?
You can see everything.
Butter-free.
Right, yes.
Look at this, y'all.
Yeah, it's super good.
Let's hope it's not flavor-free.
So sorry, people. So it's peaches, cherries,
all right.
Plums, coconut oil, honey, and raw oats, and then I baked it.
I love it.
And it's super good, I gotta say. So if you have it
and
in
look
you...
And look at this. This is a real cute little casserole dish, y'all.
Look,
y'all got to look how cute that is. See, Southern people, we're obsessed with casserole dishes. It's a little miniature one.
And I have to say...
I like it.
I need my casserole dish back.
You better watch it, girl. I might swipe that.
So I don't know if you have it in you to take a bite.
But, I'm going to take a bite right now.
Okay,
I'm
going to
take a bite right now.
It's really healthy. Actually, it's super good.
All right. Well, you've got peaches in it. Peaches are my absolute favorite. They're in season now.
You don't need sugar, right? You don't need sugar. It's got some honey, obviously, but I don't. It's not an exact fruit crisp, people.
I'm going to tell you. It's not exactly what they serve at the Cracker Barrel, but it'll do in a rush.
Well, okay. Thank you for that.
I appreciate that. For healthy cobbler.
It's healthy.
It's not bad.
Oh,
I'm going to eat it.
Oh, good.
Look, there's a cherry.
Thank you. Thank you for eating it. And I'm going to wash it down with a little bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Here. I got to do a little cheers.
What's wrong with me? Where are my Southern manners?
Where's your Southern manners?
You
cheers.
See what's
and
wrong
you have to
me?
Look me in the eye. That's important.
Double wrong.
That's right.
Okay.
Look me in the eye.
If it weren't 1 p.m., I'd say bottoms up. But today I'll just say.
Come on. You got to bottoms up.
There she goes. Wow, one of us is Southern and one of us isn't. I'm so sorry.
As we say in the South, That'll put a quiver in your liver.
There's more where that comes. Okay.
Well, I might need just a little sip more.
Yeah, okay.
A little sip more.
Oh, yes. This is how we roll here, people.
Well, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It sure is. Okay. And if you want more, just let me know.
No, that's good. There's no telling what I'm liable to say if I have much more of that.
Well, so give us some good grit. Can I say that? I don't know. Give us some good smut. How did you start the Southern Women Channel?
Well,
and why?
Well, you know, actually, it was kind of by accident, really. I've been out here in Los Angeles writing and acting and, you know, trying to get stuff going on. And I've written a lot of scripts, and I always write from the Southern voice. People always say, oh, you know, you lived in New York and LA for so long, but you still have your Southern accent. I really think the reason that I have it still so thick is because it's the only voice I write in.
Oh,
and so I think it's how I sort of haven't lost it, you know? And so as I've had some scripts optioned and whatnot, ultimately I was having a hard time getting things made, mm-hmm. getting things actually produced. Because marketing departments would sweep in and be like, oh, it's too Southern, it's too niche, where's going to be the global audience for this? And, you know, I finally just got frustrated with that, got frustrated with the no's, got frustrated with the, you know, sort of the brick wall I was slamming into, and thought, you know, why don't I just, like, put something up on this new thing called YouTube and, you know, make something and see if I can prove to the execs in Hollywood that there is an audience for this Southern voice, that there is an audience that feels underserved. So truthfully, the very first video, and I don't make all the videos like this, but the first video was unique. I actually sat down one weekend, and I wrote in one day, I wrote the first episode of Shit Southern Women Say. Can I say that on
here? Oh, you can, okay. And please do. And that's the most popular video, Shit Women Say.
Say. Shit Southern Women Say. Well, I decided the reason that I did that is because that was a meme on YouTube at the time. And as I looked at the meme, I realized that nobody had ever done Southern people. And I was like, are you kidding me? Right, we say the funniest things. Like, how can nobody have done that? So I thought, because I'd never put a video on YouTube before, it would be smart to kind of piggyback on a meme. So I wrote the thing from beginning to end on a Saturday, and then I called one of my girlfriends, Sheila Hawkins, who's actually in the one of the original girls in the first video, and she's not an actress, but I've made her.
She's great.
I've made
she's
her great. Do this. I've taught her how to act. She's very, very funny now. But she didn't want to do it. I called her and said, come meet me for a drink. I said, I just wrote something, and I want to know whether or not you think it's funny. So we went for a drink, and she was like, what have you written? I was like, this thing for YouTube. I said, I'm just going to read it to you from beginning to end and tell me whether or not you like it. Well, we started laughing so hard, I couldn't get through it. We couldn't get through. She was just spitting and crying at this bar. And she said, you have to make it. And I said, all right, I'll make it. You know, I'll do it. But you have to be in it. She was like, I am absolutely not being on camera. Sheila's a producer. She works behind the scenes. She's a development executive. She's got a lot of talent, but she was not an on-camera personality. And so I convinced her she had to do it. Then I called my friend Catherine Bayless, who's a very experienced actress, and she's from Vicksburg, Mississippi, and she's one of my very best friends out here. And I called her and said, I'm making this YouTube video, and you have to do it. She was like, I'm not doing that. That meme's so over. You know, we're not doing that video. And I was like, I want to do it. I don't care. I don't care if, like, 5 people watch it. I want to make it, you know?
And the joy of making is its own joy, really, whether people see it or not.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's the joy of YouTube, is that it really puts the power in the creator's hands. You don't have to have a yes person above you. So then I called my good buddy Delaine Yates, who's from Mandeville, Louisiana, and I knew her out here because she's an actress in Los Angeles, and she, like me, is very proud of all things Southern. And I called her and said, you're going to do this. And she was, you know, she had just had a baby. And she was like, I am busy. And I am not getting on camera. And
I don't have time for your shenanigans.
Yeah, she was like, exactly. She was like, I am on recess from this. I was like, you have to do it. You have to do it. So she was like, fine, I'll do it for you, you know. So I gathered them together. And we made the video. And then I posted it. I didn't have kind of any rhyme or reason. I actually posted it on the worst time ever. I posted it on Halloween night, which is like, now that I understand social media, I know like that's so dumb because everyone's busy. Who's looking at YouTube? But I didn't know. And literally within 24 hours, the video went viral. We were featured on the Today Show as their video of the week. And it became very clear to me by the reaction that this was a path I needed to stick to, that there obviously is an audience out there that is hungry for this kind of comedy. Right.
And tell me about some of your stats, because I know very quickly you've racked up quite a bit of views and subscribers.
Well, truthfully, you know, I am not like some huge YouTuber in that I don't have gigantic subscriber numbers. I am very thankful. Thank you if you have subscribed to my channel. I'm very thankful for the, you know, I think we almost have like 115,000 subscribers.
But hey, that counts, folks.
That's that counts. Awesome. That's pretty good. But you know what I'm most proud of on our videos is that is our views. Our right. channel has 19 million views, and I've only made 24 videos.
Is that right?
It's true. It's true.
Because I scrolled to your homepage and I saw all the videos and I just assumed that there were gobs and gobs behind it, but you've only made 24 videos.
I've That's only fantastic. Made 24 videos and we have 19 million views. Why? And I get mail all the time. Why don't you make more videos? Why don't you make more videos? Well, there's two answers to that. I mean, if you're interested.
I'm interested.
So one is, I work, you know, yes, I have a job, y'all. Yes. And so
what and YouTube videos are time consuming.
They're very time consuming. But what people don't realize is I write the videos, I shoot the videos. I only have, my husband helps me. That's it. It's me and my husband. That's the entire crew. And so I had to learn about equipment. Because at first I was renting equipment. And then I realized it's not cost effective to do that. So then I had to buy equipment. But I had to buy cheaper equipment because who wants to make a huge investment?
And you have to research all the equipment. So if you're not a techie, I mean, like, ugh.
Yes, I was very, very fortunate that my husband's a television producer and he's graduated from film school. So he had a little bit of that, like, behind the camera experience. But that's not really what he's doing these days. He's producing fancy television, and I'm making him walk around with a camera, you know, shooting my friends, doing YouTube.
He shot it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's my DP. He's my sound guy. He's my, you know. But anyway, I write them. I direct them. We shoot them together. We shoot them on, you know, some in South Carolina. I go home, and I shoot there.
Oh.
I shoot a lot at home around my family and, you know, my cousins, all the neighborhood, all the people in my neighborhood in Gaffney. We live on White Oak Road, and y'all have seen White Oak Road a lot. And they're really, everyone's so generous, you know, they let me shoot. And here in LA, I've got friends who let me shoot. I've got a good friend who's a director here named Howie Deutsch, and yeah. I'm so indebted to him because he has a horse farm, and he lets me shoot on his horse farm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so difference. There's a whole series we do called the Dixie Download. That's more like an internet hee-haw. I don't know if you remember hee-haw.
I do remember hee-haw in concept.
I'm not
sure I ever really saw it, but I think it involved overalls and hay.
Yes, right? Okay. Overalls and hay, exactly, and a lot of country music. But he let me shoot that series there, which is great because I get a great feel there, and I'm able to do it here in LA with Southern people. And so you know, we make them all. Then I have to edit.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Then there's the editing. And everyone thinks like, oh, you just hand it to an editor. But no.
Not unless you got a gazillion dollar budget.
No, you don't. And then for me, truthfully, I have like this sort of Southern poetic ear, if that's not being too obnoxious to admit. But I can hear it. I know how it needs to be laid out.
The cadence of how it has to go.
So I lay it out with my husband. He helps me do what we call the rough cut. And we lay it all out on our kitchen table on my laptop computer. It's extraordinarily time consuming. It is a wonder that we've not gotten divorced over the Southern Women Channel. And then basically then I bring in a finishing editor.
Oh, you do not mess around.
And then I bring in a finishing editor to help me, you know, do the graphics and do the nice polish, you know, whatnot. Just to make it really as crisp as I can make it considering
the budget limitations.
Yeah. And then we upload it. So it's a, you know, it's a process.
And then that's not the end of the story, really, because once you upload it, I mean, you're lucky you have subscribers. Not lucky, you've worked very hard for this, but you have subscribers and you have people who are interested in the subject matter, but you still have to market it. So all that time on social media, and that's, you know, nothing to laugh at either.
It's a full-time job.
It is a full-time job.
You know, it's Twitter, it's
Instagram,
it's
Facebook, LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn, yeah. And then as well as, you
Snap,
know.
Snap, maybe, yeah. Who knows?
Well, you know, I've tried to Snapchat.
I can't. It goes away before I get it.
I'm having a hard time with the snapping and the chatting. I've tried.
Too much. That's just too much multitasking for us here today.
Might be an age problem.
Nothing bourbon can't fix. Now,
yeah,
hold
nothing
on.
Bourbon can't fix. Hey, oh, that's right. That's yes. right.
Oh, you all wish you were here. You know you do.
Yeah. Pretty good. It's pretty good bourbon.
I know it is.
What's your favorite bourbon? Do you have a favorite one?
I take whatever my boyfriend is drinking and I bring it to studio. That's my favorite bourbon. But I love Kentucky. I know you're not from Kentucky, but I think Kentucky's beautiful. Yes. And we were talking right before we started in the studio about South Carolina, which is where you're from. You're from a little town called Gaffney. Mm-hmm. And I love Asheville, and I love also Charleston, which is just such a beautiful city. So.
Yeah. Asheville, North Carolina is beautiful. I spent a lot of time in Asheville, North Carolina, because I grew up doing competitive clogging.
Which we're going to have to figure that out. Which she's got a film script entitled, hold on to your bootstraps, people, The Possum Trot Cloggers. So we're gonna want to know all about that. But before we get to The Possum Trot Cloggers, if we can hold on here, because, you know, anticipation for that, I want to know, so you're doing all this work for the Southern Women Channel, and you realize that there's a voice. Is it going to go to another level? Because you obviously write this so well. So I'm wondering where you're taking all this enthusiasm from your YouTube channel and what you're hoping to do with it.
Well, it's actually been really interesting. You know, people say to me all the time, oh, you must make so much money on your YouTube channel. No, I ain't making a dollar on
my YouTube
channel.
Those people are smoking crack.
No. Wow. I mean, I make enough money to pay the editor, buy us something to eat while we're shooting. You know, I'm not in profit. Let's just say that. We're breaking even. But what the YouTube channel has offered me is opportunities, which is a whole different kind of currency,
yes,
really.
Yes, it is.
And it's open doors. So I developed a show last year with another Southern writer who I love, a lady named Celia Rivenbark. She's based out of Wilmington, North Carolina. She's New York Times bestseller and is a national syndicated humorist. And she and I teamed up on a project, and we took it out last year, and we were fortunate enough to get Reese Witherspoon attached. And so with Reese as our producer, we went and pitched it to the studio. Unfortunately, the studio passed.
Bastards.
I know, they
now,
passed.
Is that a Southern expression? I think of it as Southern.
I don't know that expression.
Rap bastards?
No, I don't know that as Southern. I don't know that as Southern.
Okay. Well then it'll be mine.
Right? That's okay. I'll take it. I like it. I'm going to adopt it.
Okay, what about this?
It's going to need more syllables.
Okay. Right. It's not enough?
Rap bastards.
Okay. All right. Okay. What about, well, that just fries my vegan burger.
That I like, but that's... I don't think I heard a lot of Southerners talk about vegan burgers, but I like it. I like the spirit.
Okay, it's going in the right direction.
It's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that just burns my biscuits?
Oh, that just, do I have biscuits? I thought maybe only men could say that.
No.
All right.
No.
Okay, we can all say it?
We can all say it.
Okay, well, that just burns my vegan biscuits.
There you go.
Make sure we get in the vegan people.
My gluten-free biscuits. I love it. So that was a little disappointing, but Celia and I have not given up hope. We're going to kind of work on that again and try to take that back out. But what I'm doing this year is I have another project, another television project that I've developed with a lady named Karen Lucas, and we just pitched it to Warner Brothers last week with some really exciting stars attached. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who they are, so I'm not going to. I don't want to get in trouble.
Darn.
But, I know. But Karen Lucas is, you can look her up. She's fabulously smart and talented. And has a lot of really interesting credits. And she and I joined forces. We're very different, but we've created a show that also takes place in the South. And the studio we just found out yesterday is behind us. Yay.
Great.
Thank you, Warner Brothers. And so we're going to pitch it to the networks in the coming weeks. And fingers crossed something happens.
Oh, very exciting.
Yes. And yes.
So you have some people attached. And this, would this be film or television?
Television. All,
okay.
Yeah, television.
All this is television.
So those
okay.
are my TV projects. And then I'm working on an actual scripted web series for the Southern Women because I feel like I'm ready to break into story and character now and get out of sort of the one-liner kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm working on developing that. I got to write it, you know, as we say, shit don't write itself,
yeah,
right?
No, and it's boatloads of work. There's no way around it. There's
That's
just,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So I've got to write that, and I'm going to work on that. And then I just wrote a book. That's really what I've done.
Yeah. Holy bejesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just, I was very fortunate to get a book deal based on the popularity of the YouTube channel. I had a lit agent approach me and say, I think you should write a book. I was like, I ain't never written a book. She was like, well, you had also never made a YouTube video, so maybe you should consider that. So I was like, okay. So I thought about it for a while and wrote a book proposal, and then I learned the process. It's a very interesting process. So I had to write two chapters and
send it off.
And sort of like an overview of how I saw all the book going. And then they shop it to, you know, publishers. And I was very fortunate to get a book deal with Gibbsmith Publishing. The book is called Talk Southern to Me. And it's going to be available in 2018, in the spring of 2018. On the shelves.
So now, wouldn't you think that that book might lend itself to either becoming a TV series or perhaps lending more credence to the TV series?
Possibly. You know, one never knows. I mean, it's sort of a collection of Southern essays, so it's all comedic essays. If you've ever been curious about me, I kind of slit a wrist and bleed for you. I tell you all kinds of crazy stuff about my life and how being Southern and really wearing my Southernness as a badge of honor has served me. So that's fun like that. And then it's also, I do like a collection of all those Southern sayings because so many people kind of wanted to have it as a gifty kind of option. So it should be a lot of fun, hopefully.
Well, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. How has it served you to wear your Southernness as a badge of honor?
Well, you know, I think for one thing, you know, I grew up with what I call sort of Southern philosophy, you know, like, and I think those Southern philosophies have served me well living in crazy cities like New York City and Los Angeles, where I've had to live for show business. You know, this is not a choice. You know, given a choice, I'd rather live in Nashville or Charleston or Savannah or, you know, even Gaffney. You know, I mean, even my small hometown would do. But it served me in that, you know, it's kept me grounded. I've never gotten too big for my britches, as mama would always say. And just the life lessons I've been taught, you know, always kill them with kindness. Yeah. That's not something that you find a lot. You know, I things like, you know, one of my favorite Southern sayings is sometimes you got to hang in there like hair in a biscuit. And I believe that.
How does hair in a biscuit hang in there?
Well, you know, it's hard to get a hair out of a biscuit.
Oh, I see. Just like stick like there's
gotta
no
stick
tomorrow.
You got to stick, you know. So there's these sort of life proverbs, you know, things like, you know, the grass is always greener over the septic tank.
Yes, right.
Okay. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
So I feel like those philosophies have served me. I feel like the Southern way of being polite and mannered and to me, that people always talk about Southern charm, and I talk a little bit about this in my book, but I think the real power of charm is making other people feel good about themselves, and there's all kinds of ways to do that, whether you cook for them, thank you, that was very charming, bring me bourbon, very charming, right?
Good for me.
All right, and you know, just simple things like, you know, what people also don't understand to make fun of Southern women, you know, oh, y'all wear a lot of makeup, and you do your hair, and you're always in bright colors and sparkly things, and but we believe in dressing up, you know.
Right.
We wear makeup to the gym. We wear makeup, you know, to go swimming. And we do that. We do.
How does that work for you?
Well, you know, we
you swim above the water.
We look good. Yeah. We sparkle. Sparkle. You got to learn sparkle if you're a Southern woman. That's something they teach us from youth. You got to learn to sparkle.
Wait, isn't there an expression? Horses sweat.
Ladies glow. Southern
ladies
women glow.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Men perspire and ladies glow. That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, looking good is a sign of respect.
To others.
Being well-dressed is a sign of respect. I thought this interview was important enough for me to curl my hair, put my makeup on, choose the right lipstick, choose a color that was flattering against your set. You know, even though it may initially look vain, truthfully, it's about me wanting to make you look good.
I see. So others are always top of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I took this interview, because people sort of might say, well, Elizabeth, you're not Southern at all. I'm from Chicago. But I love all things Southern. It's almost like the Southern people like to make fun of themselves, realize the caricature that they have of themselves. And I like all the things you said. I mean, I love the food. I love the music. Mm-hmm. I love how people are hospitable and always being gracious and extend. Because I throw dinner parties all the time, which is why, as you all know, I have the Celebrity Dinner Party television show. I love to entertain, and I love to really roll out the red carpet for people. And that's all Southern. And so I love that.
Absolutely. You know, entertaining food. Food is love in the
yes,
South.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And you have to make it yourself.
Yes.
Can't be buying it.
Oh, no. There's nothing tackier than store-bought food.
That's right.
And there's nothing tackier than being tacky.
Yes, right. Listen to the lady. She knows.
So, yeah, but that's all part of our culture, you know? And it's the things that I love about the Southern culture. And it's the things, you know, it's like, I'm not in the South, but I try to take the South with me wherever I go.
Wonderful. And I can see where that would serve you well. Because I would think now, going back to television and the marketplace at hand, I would think things like Duck Dynasty, that sort of... I see your look on your face. This
no,
is not... Okay, yeah. I'm
no.
not saying that your show is anything like
no,
Duck Dynasty,
listen.
But just that it paves the way for people thinking about the South or having...
Absolutely.
An open marketplace.
I mean, you know, some people love Duck Dynasty, some people hate Duck Dynasty, but it represents a swath of culture in the South. Same, you know, people used to hate Toddlers and Tiaras, but I used to get a kick out of it because I grew up in Little Girl Beauty Pageant. So there was a lot of truth in what that was, you know. Then there's great quality program like Callie Corey's Nashville, you know.
Right, of course.
And I
yes.
feel like, you right. know, what a wonderful example of a nice Southern soap opera that takes place in Nashville and
yes.
really showcases country music in such a beautiful way.
Right, with storytelling mm-hmm. and really wraps mm-hmm. it in. I agree with you. And I would say that this seems like an opportune time for you because there's nothing really comedic right now. Am I wrong about the South?
Well,
so
I
you
don't,
fill a niche there.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't know what. I'm not savvy enough to know exactly every show that's been
of
picked
course,
up and what's going to you know be rolling
course.
Out in the fall. But I do feel like that Southern women are particularly underserved on television. And, you know, I would love to be the new Designing Women. That's sort of the world that I would like to live in. Lighthearted, lots of women that Southern women can look at and mm-hmm. really relate to, you mm-hmm. know, not just think that's some Hollywood version of them.
Right.
And you said earlier, you know, Southern people can laugh at themselves. They can.
Yeah.
As long as being presented to them in an authentic way. And I feel like I've been blessed to have a little bit of a license to do that because I
You're
am
Southern.
Born and raised
yeah.
in the South. And it's the reason that on my YouTube channel, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but on my YouTube channel, I only use Southern women. So that's it. You
yeah.
have to be from the South to, I don't care. I don't care if you got the best Southern accent in the world.
Yeah.
If you're not born and raised in the South.
You're out.
Yeah, out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, and I've tried to, I've been trying to pull women in from different states. You know, for example, I'm from South Carolina. She's from South Carolina. Kat's from Mississippi. Delaney's from Louisiana. I've used a girl named Kim Kendall from Alabama. I used a lady named Clorinda Ross from North Carolina. I used Laura Bell Bundy, who a wonderful actress. She's from Kentucky. She can talk all things bourbon all day.
Oh, have her on.
She's a hoot. Love Laura Bell. I've had, you know, Logan Browning on. She's from Georgia, and she's a terrific actress. I've had a girl named Chastity Duffy on. She's from Little Rock, Arkansas, and she is hilarious.
You got it covered, girl.
Yes, yes. And we just did we did this dance video recently for Universal Music Group Nashville. They commissioned us to do it for them to help promote a contest they were having, which is totally like off the grid of what we normally do. But I have a dance background, so I decided that I would do it for them, and I brought in some Southern girls who had professional dance backgrounds, and then I brought in additional two girls, a girl named Sasha Koziak from Texas, who I know from the clogging world. And
we're getting into clogging people.
We're getting back to clogging. Uh-huh. And my friend Carson Bolin, who's from North Carolina, Kings Mountain, North Carolina. And she...
Sweet Jesus, you got a lot of friends.
I run around with like the Southern Mafia out here in LA. And
Southern Women's Mafia.
It is.
They got muffins and biscuits. Move over.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so I brought them on, and then, you know, For every video, I will cover the states that I have yet to cover. People always say, you need a Tennessee girl. You need a Texas girl. It's coming. You know, it just takes a minute for me to get it all together.
Well, so I want to get into clogging in just a moment, but I will say that I dated someone for a significant amount of time who was from Alabama.
Nice.
And I was commuting back and forth from Chicago to Alabama, and his family... Long-time Southern roots, and said they owned property, I want to say, like an hour south of Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the old, just like you would expect, not as grand as Gone with the Wind, but they had one of those old Southern houses on mm-hmm. a big plot of land and a pond. And it was so picturesque and Southern and deep, deep, deep South.
Uh-huh.
And it was really fun and a cultural, not a shock, but definitely a cultural exchange between the two of us, because it was something else. Yeah.
Well, we again, I mean, it's one of the things I love about the Southern Women Channel is that we really celebrate all those Southernisms. We celebrate that language. And, you know, I think it would be hard if I was from Chicago just rolling down to the South, because you don't even understand half of what we're saying.
It's so true. And some of the dishes, you're like, I just want to make sure that there's not, like, intestines in there. From the vegan girl from the North. Yeah. Even though I don't even think of Chicago as North, but I guess compared to everything else.
Chicago's definitely not Southern. I guess I would say Midwest, but you know, it's just culturally different.
Yes,
you know?
Very.
That's what's so crazy about the South, really, if you think about it. We've got this whole subculture in our country. We're all Americans, yet we have this specific subculture.
It's amazing to me. We're getting off topic here a little bit, going a little bit with politics, but it's amazing to me sometimes that United States stays together. Because the culture is so extreme, and you see it in our voting tendencies. We have those beliefs. They're not ones that any of us hold faint of heart. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing to me that somehow we all stick together. So food.
Food and family.
Right.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day,
our value system's usually family.
Yes, right.
And that's what bonds people.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about clogging. So you do have a dance background. And anyone who can see here, she's so lithe and slender and long and tall.
Aren't you sweet as sugar?
It doesn't surprise me that you have a dance background, but it does surprise me that you clog. Can I say that?
Yeah.
You clog?
Yeah.
Is that a verb? Okay.
That is a verb. I am a clogger, y'all.
Explain it, please.
Yes. Well, I grew up, my mother, I'll tell the story if you've got patience.
I sure do.
So my mama was the first person to use clogging as her talent in the Miss America pageant system.
Your mother was in Miss America?
My mother was in the Miss America pageant system.
So
my mama was Miss Cherokee County, which is the county in which Gaffney is, and she used for her talent clogging, because my mom didn't really have, like, you know, a huge dance background or anything, but her parents used to take her as a little girl to the bluegrass barn in town called Curly's Ranch. And, of course, she should not have been there because she's a little girl and they're serving alcohol. But they took her anyway because they couldn't afford a babysitter. So she went to Curly's Ranch, and so the people there taught her to clog. It was a bluegrass barn, so they play bluegrass music, and Mama learned to clog. So that was her talent. So when Mom went to Miss Cherokee County, she was trying to win scholarship money to college. She used clogging. She won talent, and she won the pageant. Then she went on to the Miss South Carolina pageant. Well, back in that time, the Miss South Carolina pageant was like a big deal. You know, there'd be like 60, 70 women competing for Miss South Carolina. And Mom came from this, you know, little town and, you know, very modest blue-collar family, and she said she got her dress at Cato's. You probably don't know what Cato's is, but, you know, that's like a Target kind of place. And, you know, she said she was really nervous about going against all these sort of Southern debutantes who came from upper society in South Carolina. And she just kept a good attitude and rolled on in there with her clogging routine.
Good girl.
You know, and against the opera singers and the ballerinas. And she ended up winning talent, so she won her preliminary, she won talent, and then she also won Miss Congeniality, because Mama's got a hilarious personality, and the Miss South Carolina pageant was televised. So, because it was televised, Mama brought down the house with her clogging routine, and got standing ovation, and so Mom did not win Miss South Carolina,
but
so many of the other pageants, state pageants, saw her, and they invited her and brought her in to perform for their state pageants. So when I was born, Mother decided that I needed to learn to dance. So I think part of my dance training is sort of my mom living a little bit vicariously through me. She put me in ballet and tap and jazz and all the things that maybe she wasn't able to do. And I thank her for that. I loved it and benefited greatly from it. But Mama taught me to clog from the time I was a little girl. And then she started taking me to clogging competitions, and then she started taking me to the best clogging coaches all throughout the mountains, North Carolina mountains. And I learned to clog, and I grew up as a competitive clogger as well as a competitive dancer in all other forms.
But what is clogging? So when I think of clogging, when I first read this, I thought that was Dutch. I think of wooden clogs?
No, no.
So help me. So what is clogging?
So clogging basically is America's folk dance, is what it is. So the Appalachian region, okay, was settled by the English, the Scots, the Dutch.
Right, so there is some influence there.
There is. You know, Irish step dancing. You're getting those European dances.
Sure.
Those people came over, and those European dances were used as sort of like part of celebration. So church socials or to celebrate the harvest. And so those sort of celebratory dances got kind of mixed up with the bluegrass music that was emerging from the region at that time. So that percussive dance was done as the downbeat to the bluegrass strings.
Okay.
There's no downbeat.
Oh, I see. Almost keeping the beat.
It keeps the beat. So the feet keep the beat.
Oh, that's great.
So there would be people on the porch playing bluegrass music, and somebody would start clogging to keep the beat, right? And that's how clogging began. So clogging is a little different from European folk dances in that it's done flat-footed. There's two or three different styles. There's buck dancing. It's complicated, but there are a lot of different styles of clogging that emerged, and I've sort of been exposed to most of them. And it is still America's folk dance. There are competitive clogging teams.
And you compete in clogging.
Oh, well, I haven't anymore. I'm tired from that now.
But you did.
I did. And I owned a dance studio in Gaffney, South Carolina. I owned a studio there for 17 years. And we taught everything, including clogging. We had four clogging teams there, a little peewee team and like an elementary team and a high school team and an adult team. And we took them all over competing. They're called the Southern Jewels, and they're still there. I sold my studio, but the clogging teams are still, you know, stomping their way throughout the Southeast and competing. And I have a lot of really talented friends who are exceptional cloggers. And so it's something that I'm sort of, you know, it's one of those quirky skills that I have.
Well, and that's the script that was optioned, I think, by New Line, wasn't it? I don't know where that is at the moment. I know you're still kind of plugging away, and it may go or it may not, or, you know, we'll sort of see.
Yeah.
But it's one of the tricks up your sleeve.
It's a trick up the sleeve. I wrote a movie called The Possum Trot Cloggers, which is a romantic comedy that takes place in the world of competitive clogging. It's based on my real life experiences. It is, in my view, very, very funny. But anyway, yeah, it was optioned by New Line, and we were very close to getting the movie made, and then the marketing department pulled the plug on it. So I've actually been working very hard to try to get that movie independently financed or set up at another studio. I recently just did a complete rewrite on it because I wrote that script over 10 years ago, so it needed a polish, you know.
And would you be in it? Is that what you'd like to see?
Well, funny enough, when I originally wrote it, I wrote the movie for myself to play the lead, and I was cast as the lead through New Line. You know, I did this whole process with them, and they cast me as the lead. But now I'm too old to play the lead.
Gosh darn it, you're too old to play yourself.
You've been to play me.
You've been cheated. You've been robbed.
So I have a star in mind that I'd like and I'm trying to get the script to play the lead to see if she'd say yes. And my dream would now be to play the mother.
That does fry my vegan burger. That just makes me mad. Because you look great.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. But, you know, I think...
Please now, people.
Yes, but, you know, to be honest with you, clogging's really hard.
Okay.
and the level in which it's going to be, it would need to be done in this film. Because I want to really show how exceptional clogging is.
Well, can't you have a clogging double?
Oh, well, I'm sure I could.
I'm not going to give up on the fact that she should be the one to play herself.
Well, you know, I think, though, that even if I played the mom, this is hypothetical if this movie ever even got financed.
We've had some bourbon. We're allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom or yourself.
Yeah, there you go. I think it would actually probably be a blessing for me to have to play my mom. I have to put myself in her shoes for a minute.
Oh, she would love it.
She's even about to see what I put up with.
Well, okay. So in this hypothetical situation, that's one script where maybe you are actually in it. But I know you also have something else called Growing Up Broadway. We're chatters, you and I, so we're kind of running a little bit short on time. But how was your stint in New York? How'd that go? Did you like it?
Broadway,
Southern lady that you are.
Well, you know, I write a very heartfelt essay about that in my book, about what it's really like to be born and raised in Gaffney, South Carolina, and the farthest you ever been is Myrtle Beach, and then all of a sudden you get off a plane in New York City and you know nothing,
and
you
JFK.
Know nobody, right. and I don't know anything, and it was really hard. It was very, very challenging, but I feel like, as I said earlier, that being Southern actually helped me in the long run navigate that city and survive that insanity. You know, I was very fortunate. I moved there with a dream. I had $5 in my pocket and I didn't know a soul. And within 2 months, I was cast in the national tour of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat opposite Donny Osmond. So I went on tour, on my first Broadway national tour for a year and a half, and it was really magical time. And then I moved back to the city, and, you know, I did a couple of other things. I was cast in the national tour of Victor Victoria.
Annie Get Your Gun.
I was going to say yes. And then I workshopped a show with Tommy Toon that didn't make it. I was like, you know, floating around. And then I just landed in the perfect audition at the perfect time. I auditioned for the revival of Annie Get Your Gun on Broadway, which ultimately starred Bernadette Peters and Tom Wopat. And, you know, these auditions are super competitive.
Sure.
Super competitive.
Even more than clogging competitions.
You go through multiple rounds. You have to dance. You have to sing. You know, you have to read. You have to do all this stuff. And then at the end, you know, you're standing there with, like, you know, I don't know, 20 girls or whatever, and they're going to hire 10. I don't know. And they're like, do you have any special skills? And I'm like, special skills?
Hold on. Hold on to your bootstraps, people. I got a special skill. Right? Just you wait and watch.
Right. You know, people are like, you know, oh, I juggle, and I can twirl the baton, and I do 50 flips. And, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm like panicking as it's coming to me because it makes me kind of laugh because I'm like, it's not enough that you sing, dance, and act.
Right,
now you got to have
find
a special
something
skill,
more.
You
yes.
know? That's not enough. So I just, it just came out of my mouth and I was like, I'm a championship clogger. And they were like, excuse me? And Jeff Calhoun, who is actually, I think Jeff's from Texas or Oklahoma. He might be from Texas, but anyway, he's Southern. And he was the assistant director, assistant choreographer. And Jeff said to me, I want to see it right now. And so the piano player that was there just started playing Rocky Top, and I started clogging, and I got the job. And
fantastic.
Then I ultimately taught Bernadette Peters and the whole cast how to clog for the big dance number that we did called Sun in the Morning and Moon at Night, which we're at this fancy, like, debutante ball in New York City, and then Bernadette comes out as, like, a real hillbilly, and she's like, I don't want to be a debutante. I'm going to show you who I really am. And then she teaches all the debutantes to clog, which, of course, I was playing a debutante, funny enough, a New York debutante, and I'm the one that taught her to clog.
And she's teaching
right,
you on
right,
stage
right,
how to clog.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it was a really fun time. It was magical time. It was a dream come true to be on Broadway. It was a dream come true to work with all these talented
all those people.
And then I went on the national tour of Annie Get Your Gun. So I did Annie Get Your Gun for a long time.
Wow. And then landed here in Venice. So
yeah.
Quite the trajectory. Thanks to hubby who kind of brought you over here, right?
Yeah.
Gosh darn him. Man. Rat bastards. Can we say that again? We're
rat
not sure.
Rat bastards.
That's right. I gotta get it right. Okay. So you're going to teach me how to swear and how to clog. Okay. So we got to wrap it up. Just a couple quick things before we go. Your very favorite Southern expression. Is it possible to give me your one and top?
Oh my gosh,
I love
so many Southern expressions. It's like almost an impossible thing for me to choose one. But I mean, it's bless your heart because
a classic, an oldie but goodie.
Yeah,
bless your heart.
Bless your heart is my favorite because it can just mean so many things. You know, it can be earnest, like you got up late this morning, barely made it here. Bless your heart, you did well. You
poor
got
thing,
here. Poor
kind
thing.
Of, yeah.
Very earnest,
yeah.
You know, or. You know, your grandma was in the hospital. Bless your heart. That must be hard. You know, and it's very earnest. Yeah. It can also mean, you know, bless your heart, which means you are a flaming idiot, and I'm just too polite to tell you so, you know.
Understood. Okay, so I'll have to read the tone that comes through
right.
on bless your heart.
That's right.
Of course, I have to ask, because I have the TV show, The Celebrity Dinner Party, what is your very favorite snack? Can be healthy or junk food?
My very favorite snack is turkey jerky.
Ew! Out of a package? Like a gas station kind of thing?
I used to eat Slim Jims. Like, ooh. That my Slim Jim
Lord.
And Cheerwine was my favorite
Wait,
snack.
Wait, Slim Jim and what?
Cheerwine.
Oh, right.
Cheerwine is a Southern soda. It's from North Carolina. It's like a cherry Coke.
Okay.
You can't get it here. You have to order
right.
it on the internet. It's very annoying.
Okay.
Just like Duke's Mayonnaise, I can't get that in California either. Extremely annoying. But anyway, I used to eat Slim Jims. And then, you know, as I, you know, got older in life, I decided that all that beef was probably not so healthy for me. So I started eating turkey jerky. So
right.
I keep turkey jerky in
all
my
right.
car, in
all
my
right.
gym bag,
okay.
in my house. I'm a little bit obsessed.
Okay, so the next time I see you, I'll have to make you some vegan turkey jerky. I will work on that.
Okay.
Do you cook?
I do cook, yes.
What do you like to cook?
Oh, I like to cook a lot of things. I love to grill. you know, it's especially in the summer now. Yeah, we're so in that great. Time. I love to just do good old-fashioned grilling. My daddy always grills, so I think there's a nostalgia, connection. The connection. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, that's through such food. A thing about food and family. I just feel like you always have a connection. And, you know, I love casseroles. You know, probably I'm going to have to come up with a vegan casserole for you.
Oh, I've got that. No, I've got a vegan casserole in mind. Yeah, okay. I can give you that recipe.
Okay.
No worries.
Okay, but, you know, I do casseroles. I also love... I like to do pasta dishes and things that are not healthy for me. But
I know.
I like
them. Tastes so good. I know.
Yeah, and fried chicken. Fried chicken is my favorite food on earth.
Okay.
And it's, again...
I always think of fried chicken as hard. Very labor-intensive. One of the things I love about casseroles is, oh, kind of stir it up and no one will know what's really inside. And let's move on, people.
Yeah. So, well, it's good. It's like, one dish, one pan cooking. Is that what
they
call it?
Yes, I love that. Cooking. Just, feed the whole family. Right, the whole hoedown. Let's read the whole hoedown. My last question for you. What's the one thing we're always going to find in a Southern person's refrigerator?
What's the one thing you're going to always... Sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, sweet tea is how we leave it here today. I would spike my sweet tea with bourbon. But that's just me. That's what I'm saying.
That's the way to do it.
Thank you for joining me today. Great to have you here. Everybody, where can we find you, Julia Fowler? Tell us.
Find me on YouTube, Southern Women Channel. You can find me at southernwomenchannel.com. You can find us on Facebook, Southern Women Channel. And on Instagram, Southern Women Channel.
Thanks for joining me, everybody. My name is Elizabeth Alfano. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DinnerPartyCHGO, Facebook, because I still love it, at Elizabeth Alfano, and all my celebrity interviews on TheDinnerParty.tv. Holler at you later.
Bye, y'all.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.